Hello, my fellow friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to a brand new episode of Sweeten Up Podcast, season number 2, episode number 72. I hope everyone's doing well. I am your host, Jeff Spencer. Thank you so much for taking some time to join me today. I greatly appreciate it, whether you have for an entire season or you are today for the first time. Thank you so much for joining us. However, if you are just joining us for the first time, take a look back at our library of 71 episodes anytime you want, anywhere you subscribe to the show. As always, if you like what you hear on the podcast today, please be sure to tell all your friends and to subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcasts so that you never miss out on a future episode. You can also find the podcast on social media, Instagram, and Facebook at Sweeten Up Podcast. With that being said, my guest on the podcast today is my good friend, Mr. Joe Attenito. Joe Attenito is the founder and owner of JJ Stacks, a dive restaurant located in Brookfield, Connecticut on Federal Road, complete with not only food that is to dive for, especially his famous wings, but a mini golf course as well. Joe was the previous owner of Tiger's Den Sports Bar in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and has worked with some of the great chefs of our state. Food has been a passion of Joe's for a long time, and it was great to catch up with him to see how he has fared during the COVID-19 pandemic, how everything is going at JJ Stacks, and what the future holds. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the always wonderful and inspiring Joe Attenito. Joining me on the podcast today, here in my apartment in Danbury, Connecticut, sitting across from me, I am so thrilled and honored, a new friend of mine, someone who I support very much and everything that he's doing over in Brookfield, Connecticut, the owner of JJ Stacks over in Brookfield. You might have seen the place, mini golf course in the back, awesome food in the front with this wonderful individual, Joe Attenito. And Joe, how are you, buddy? Thanks for joining me this evening.
Wonderful. That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said about me.
Of course, man. Of course.
Well, I'm doing great. How could I be bad? We're here watching baseball.
Yeah, we're having a couple beers. We're watching Braves and Astros World Series baseball, and just started. And what if the Braves win this? It's all over, right?
Let's hope. Let's hope. By the time the proverbial trash can.
Yeah, no, and by the time folks listen to this episode, the World Series champion will probably have been champion for at least a week or so. So congratulations to whoever that is. I don't know if it'll conclude by the time we wrap up here. But yeah, man, as a Met fan, real quick before we get started, you know, as a Met fan, it's weird saying that I wish the Braves would win. But I, you know, just with everything that happened with the Houston Astros and the whole scandal and everything like that, I just feel like, hey, I hope the Braves win just to not make it seem like the Astros were getting like rewarded or something like that. I don't know. It's just, I think most baseball fans are united on that front, but then there's a lot of Met fans that say, how could you do that? Because the Braves are such a rival of the Mets. And, I don't know. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I think the majority of baseball is rooting for the Braves here. It's hard to root for a team that just so blatantly cheated and didn't even get reprimanded. They just, not even a slap on the wrist.
Right.
I do enjoy watching this guy's release, though. It's
on the Astros, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, wow. Really a great catch by Kyle Tucker. That kid's a stud out there for the Astros and right field.
We could turn this into a audition.
Yeah, so this is going to be a play-by-play.
It's an audition Jeff and Joe baseball.
People thought they were listening to a podcast, and now they're getting the play-by-play of the World Series. No, but listen, Joe, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I really, really appreciate it, and for coming by and giving me some of your free time, because I know you're super, super busy. There's so much going on. So, you know, one place I like to start, and I know that this is a topic and an issue that's been a hot button one for you, is, you know, how did you get through COVID? I know you opened your restaurant during COVID, and we'll definitely get into that, but on a personal level, and on a business level, how have you gotten through COVID so far? I mean, I don't think we're totally through it, but how have you gotten by?
Yeah, I think a lot of other people in the industry will say that we're not through it yet. I mean, all the weird restrictions are over, right? Like, you don't have to wear a mask in restaurants. You don't have to have plastic dividers. You don't have to have, you know, 13% capacity or whatever rule it was. But now we're all dealing with, you know, the labor issues and the food cost issues. And I don't think we're anywhere near through the woods yet, but we're all just doing the best we can. You know, you change the model when you have to change the model. You know, last year we closed for 4 months because that was the best chance we had of staying open, was to take 4 months and say, we're not going to be able to stay open and keep throwing money at it. And, you know, everybody's got their different ways of doing it. And that was our solution. It may be our solution this year. By the time this airs, we may be closed for 3 months and, you know, we'll be back in the spring no matter what. But, you know, everyone's got to do what they could do. It's a nightmare. The whole situation's crazy. It's something none of us have ever seen. Hopefully we never see it again. But yeah, we just keep pushing forward. I mean, what can you do?
I hear you.
All you could do is show up to work and do the best job you could do and try to, you know, make everybody happy and do what you gotta do.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I totally understand. And it's been wild, as everyone knows. And, it's good to get your take on it. And, you know, it's cool that you're trucking along. You're like, hey, listen, this is what it is, but, I'm just going to keep rocking and doing the best I can. So,
well, I got very, very fortunate. For whoever doesn't know, I mean, we did open during COVID, so we certainly had our work cut out for us, but I got very, very fortunate and got a landlord that wants us there and wants to see us succeed. So, if I got to tell him in 4 weeks, listen, Alan, I'm going to close for the next 3 months. We got to carry the rent over, you know, and work it out when we reopen. He's more than happy to do it. The guy bends over backwards for us. We couldn't be luckier. So that's, you know, a lot of people in the industry, a lot of friends that don't have that either walked away from their businesses or, you know, made the struggle worse because they didn't have that support from their landlord. I got very, very lucky. I have somebody that does everything he can to make sure that we're there and we're successful. So
that's great. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Thank God.
That's good to hear.
I don't know we wouldn't be here if it wasn't, you know,
right.
There's a lot of things that have kept us here over the last year. He's a big part of that. So, I mean, shout out to him for sure.
Gotcha.
It's been very helpful having that.
Nice. So bring me to your earlier days growing up. Everything like that. Where do your roots come from? Where were you born and raised?
You know how old I am, right? This could take take the whole hour.
Take me back, like that song in Rocky. Take me back.
So a million years ago, I started bussing tables at a catering hall in Yonkers where I grew up. Very Italian catering hall. Like that kind of place that like all your Italian friends got married, had their sweet 16s. John Gotti had cigar dinners. It was like an interesting place. And I was bussing tables there at 14 years old and worked my way up to a waiter at 16. I was waiting tables, very under the table because it's not exactly legit for a 16-year-old to be waiting tables. But I started waiting tables there and moved my way up and eventually got into an actual restaurant. That restaurant I became a manager of within 3 years at 21 years old and was a multi-million dollar. And I fell in love. As many people will tell you, it's an industry that you either love or you hate. I fell in love with it so hard. I've tried to get out of the industry so many times. And it sucks you right back in.
I don't want to fucking do this.
I miss my family. I miss birthdays. I miss things. But then you get like a real job and you sit in a desk and you're like, this fucking sucks. This is what people do. Like people just sit there in front of a computer and like play fucking Arkanoid for 4 hours and Tetris for 3 hours, maybe get an hour of work done and can't wait to get out of there. Like, I can't do this. I need to be out. I need to be talking to people. I need to be.
Right.
It's like, I've tried to get out a couple of times and I just end up back in, even with Stacks. I was in a sales job. I was working for, you know, a food distributor, sales. I was killing it. I was doing great. I thought it was a good place for me to be because I was in the business, right? Like
right.
I was in and out with chefs. I was in the restaurant. People were asking my opinion.
Nice.
I felt like I was still a part of it.
Nice.
And then one of my closest friends was like, we should Let's do a food truck. I'm like, I would do a food truck. I'd do a food truck.
I'd do a food
It'd
truck.
Cost us like 20, 30 grand. We could get that together. You know, and we could, you know,
right.
Me and you could just run it and we don't need staff. You know, if we don't want to work a weekend, we don't have to work. We could do like events and catering, hit some breweries up. I have a lot of brewery connections from when I had the sports bar. Like, that's a great idea. And we went and looked at a truck. Like, this truck is great. It's like 10 grand. This lady's dying to get rid of it. And he's like, yo, man, I don't want to do this. He goes, what if the truck breaks down? He goes, let's buy a restaurant instead. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. You're like, dude, I don't want to do that. He was like, nah, man, go look at this place. I'm like, I'll go look at the place, but we're not going to do this. It's like 100% no. I look at the place. I'm like, man, this place is awesome. It's like an acre. It's got mini golf. It's got a huge deck. Maybe the rent will be insane. Maybe the rent will be like 10 grand. Yeah, it'd be impossible to do. Landlord's like, write the lease yourself. Put a rent number in. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm buying a restaurant.
Nice.
Like, great. And here we are. Here we are in the middle of COVID. We bought a restaurant and, you know.
Yeah, so talk to me about JJ Stacks.
It's
What was it before? Where is it located? And what can people expect?
It's right on Federal Road. It's always had mini golf. I have like great grandparents come in with like their great grandkids, and they're like, "Oh, I brought my kids here, my grandkids here, and now I'm bringing my great grandkids here. Did we play mini golf? We had birthday parties."
Nice.
I'm like, man, they had mini golf when you were around. Jeez. And so it's right on Federal Road. It's it was Campy's Cookout before us. It was a hot dog stand. It was a barbecue place. It was a Jamaican jerk joint, which when I think Brookfield, Connecticut, Jamaican jerk joint hits me right in the face. And now it's us. And we do, you know, burgers, wings, fries.
I was telling you,
sandwiches,
it's got breakfast. A great Lake George feel to it. Very like, very cottagey, like cozy. I love that about it. It's sort of,
yeah, it's fun.
When you step in, it's almost like a portal to being on vacation or just somewhere else.
So. It is. It's definitely got that feel, like the Jersey Shore, Lake George.
Yeah.
I actually have a customer who moved into the condos across the street who owned a shop in the Jersey Shore. And he walked in and he's like, dude, this reminds me. And he's old. He's like, old. I hope he doesn't listen to this. If you're listening to this, like, I'm sorry, but you're old. I can't help it. He was like, I owned the shop for like 30 years, 40 years at the Jersey Shore. And this is the place. He's like, you got the ice cream. You got the food, the fries, the burgers, the mini golf, the boardwalk.
Yeah.
You know, my patio looks like a boardwalk.
It's yeah,
like
it does. Little, it's cool, know. Man.
He's like, this is like the Jersey Shore. It's like, I moved in and here you are. It's great. And he comes in like once a week and he brings his family when they come. His grandkids come visit. It's great. He's those are the customers like you do this for, right? Like you get into this and, you know, people don't realize when you buy a restaurant, you get into the industry, customers become like family. And it's like the awesome part of it. But then when you leave, they're gone. Like you don't. But he's still there and he comes in every week and yeah, for now he's one of my guys.
Nice. And you have brews, you have really awesome craft beer and cans, and you've got a lot of different things going on. Really great wings, exceptional wings, wings that I would put on par with some of the best in Connecticut. So definitely talk to me about the wings, how they are so great, and just all the other different food items that you got going on over there.
The wings are, I think we do a really good job with. I think we're on par with the, you know, I wouldn't put my name up there with like the wing king of Connecticut, Jay Carlucci over in Dewdrop.
Bananas
job.
Shout out.
With what he does.
Shout out to Jason.
You know, TK's has been around for 30 years. Obviously, they know what they're doing. I mean, that's where I go for wings when I go for wings.
I was at Pippa's last night.
Pippa's has like some of the best sauces.
It's one of my favorite places to get wings.
One of the best and one of the best places to go watch a game. Like, where else are you going to go see?
Yeah. Giants game last night.
Oh, why would you want to watch that? That sounds
well, I'm a Jets fan, but I figured, well, we had a, so I'm on a, I help coach a softball team that plays very late at night at Rogers Park on Mondays. And the Giants game was on. So afterwards, we made our way over to Pippa's and pounded some wings. So
my problem with Pippa's is I could eat like 50 wings.
Yeah, so they're
like,
smaller.
Man, the taste is good.
Yeah,
but like, what do these come off of? Like, what kind of animal are they? Like these chickens like 3 weeks old.
Yeah.
They're like the best sauce, man. They really do have the best flavor. That Gold Rush sauce.
I'm so glad you brought that up because that's
one day I'll figure it out.
I get 10 Honey Barbecue and 10 Gold Rush and just go to town. Or the Mango Habanero. The Mango Habanero wings are...
That's a killer sauce, man. No matter where you go, you get somebody that's a decent Mango Habanero, it's...
The Gold Rush...
The sweet heat. The sweet heat's just a beautiful thing.
The Gold Rush I really appreciate because recently I really got into the Carolina Gold barbecue sauce because that's basically what Gold Rush is a derivative of.
What is it, like honey mustard and...
I have it in my fridge.
Something else, like honey mustard and, barbecue.
I got it from Trader Joe's. Yeah, it's like a mustard barbecue sauce, yeah. And it's just so good.
That's my favorite. At Pippa's, that's my favorite thing.
It's just so good, yeah.
But
yeah, what else you guys got over there, JJ Stacks? I know you're doing breakfast, too.
Yeah, we do breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's a long day. The wings were something when I had Tiger's Den, which for those who don't know, my first restaurant was Tiger's Den in Ridgefield. And you know, we came in.
Was that your first place you ever owned?
That was the first place I ever owned.
What was that like? Talk to me about how that came to be.
Sports Bar and Grill. I had a acquaintance friend. I guess we were friends, not the closest of friends, but we were friends. And, you know, at one point there was three of us that were talking about doing something together. One guy branched off and did something. And me and the other guy, who was eventually my partner, found the location. And he actually ended up having his kid's christening there. So just so we could scout it out. Right.
Yeah.
So we went to this party at his kid's christening and we're looking it out. And we ended up talking to the owners, made him an offer. And they basically laughed at our offer. We didn't hear anything for like 3 months. And then out of the blue, they were like, let's talk about the offer you made. So we you know, ended up making a deal, taking it over.
Interesting.
Became a sports bar and grill. We turned it from an Italian restaurant to a sports bar and grill. And we were, you know, same, very similar, you know, easy food, but homemade and a little bit of care, not just like frozen shit that you're throwing into a deep fryer. You know, we weren't buying frozen burger pucks and, you know, we did our own mozzarella sticks. We did our own wing sauces, made our own blue cheese, made our own salad dressings. Much like we do now at JJ Stacks. We do all our own wing sauces. We do buy pre-made burgers. I can't sit here and say we don't. We go through burgers at an insane rate. And to sit there and make 4 ounce patties, there's just no staff to do that. But we do make our own sauces. We make our own French, we cut our own fries, all our own wing sauces. Some genius dubbed me the sauce boss, and that guy's gonna be the smartest guy. Maybe in all of Connecticut.
Oh,
I don't
thanks,
know.
Man. Appreciate it.
Oh, was that you? Was that you? I thought that was Carlucci. I thought that was the Wing King.
I don't know. One or the other.
We do our own blue cheese, which is something I'm really proud of. I love that blue cheese dressing, man.
Yeah.
I feel like you asked me a question like 15 minutes ago that we didn't even come close to answering, and now we're on like 4 questions from that. But I don't remember what it was, so who cares?
Oh, no, that's fine. Just basically, like, what you got over there for food and everything like that. And
yeah, now we're on Tiger's Den. And now we're back to Do Drop In. You might as well have Jay Carlucci in for this podcast.
I know. Where is he? Unbelievable. But, but yeah, I remember Tiger's Den. I remember so many people really, really loved that spot. Ridgefield being the area it is.
We definitely had our rabid following. But, I mean, listen, we made our mistakes, too. I mean, we got in trouble there. You know, we had an arrest. We got caught serving minors. It wasn't intentional, but it happened. Not something we're proud of, but we muscled through. That was early on. That was like within our first 6 months. We muscled through it and kept going. But just that location of that town wasn't meant to be. It's a great town. I miss all the people I made, you know, all the friends I made there, all the family. But the good thing is they all come see me now.
Nice.
So, you know, I reopened and now I see all my old familiar faces. So, you know, that's back to like what I said before, you know, it's a family, it's a friend, you know, you meet these people and they become a part of your life and, you know, they start as customers and, you know, you see the progression, right? Like it's your first time you're in. Hey, how you doing? How is everything? Everything's great. You know, maybe the conversation goes a little bit more. Then, you know, next week I see you again and it's like, oh, you know, where are you from? What's your family? You know, what, your kids, you get married, what do you do? And then, you know, 3 months later, you know everything about this person, and they just, like, they started as a customer, and now you know everything about them, and you're getting invited to parties, you go to weddings, you go to, you know, you guys go out and drink, or you guys go out and have dinner. You know, it's, that's why I love this industry. You know, it's built on, at the end of the day, and this is why, I don't know, I know you've been in Stacks a few times now. Anthony Bourdain is everywhere. Anthony Bourdain is absolutely my spirit animal. I mean, this guy is just what he did with food and how he used food to, like, you know, it's not just food. It's who eats together, right? When you go out to eat, who do you go out with?
Yeah, your girlfriend, your friends, your family. Yeah.
So Bourdain turned food into that. He goes, whoever I go out with, you know, I go out and I sit at the bar and you're next to me. Well, now you're my friend and we're going to eat. And we're going to talk about the food and we're going to become, you know, that's it. He turned it into what it really is supposed to be. Food is a connection. It's a beautiful thing that, like, nothing really unites like food does.
Right.
Like, good food is good food. No matter how you feel about anything else, good food is good. And whether it's a greasy spoon burger that's just done well, or, in my opinion, the best chef in Fairfield County, Jeff Tabey, making you a bowl of noodles, or bringing the knowledge he has, or, you know, Stanzi making you an amazing pizza over at Good Old Days. Like, these guys are just fucking brilliant. Like, honestly, I'm nowhere near that level. Like, I'm just flipping burgers. These guys are fucking insanely creative and insanely beautiful. Like, what they do is beautiful. And it just, like, unites. Like, it's just, that's how I became friends with Stanzak. I became friends with Stanzak through Jeff Tabey. I was bartending at Taproot in between careers, honestly, when Tiger's Den closed before I went into sales. And Stanzak and Dan Sabia would come in every time Jeff did Bushido night. And they would sit at the bar and they would sit there literally for 3 hours and just fucking drink and eat.
Right.
And they were, like, just picking their brain and hearing how they, like, hearing, like, Dan talk about food and hearing, like, Matt talk about food was like, dude, I've been in the industry for 35, 40 years. These guys aren't even that old. And, like, hearing them talk about it is like, this is what I love. This is what I love.
Yeah, just everyone being together, enjoying food, talking about food.
You know, one guy does pizza.
Vibing out.
Right? Like, Matt does pizza.
Yeah.
Dan does, like, this insane thing where he, like, makes your furniture and he makes, like, the frying pan he's cooking your food in. And he makes his own bow and hunts the deer that he's going to cook you. And it's like, yeah, obviously he's not that. Yeah, obviously we're, you know, I'm embellishing. But, yeah. Like, you know, Dan, like, does his whole thing. And, like, Jeff does his whole thing. And it's...
Yeah. No, it's inspiring. That's one of the reasons why I love so much working for Jeff on his food truck. I mean, even the food truck, just watching him do what he does and, you know, sort of the poetry in motion, so to speak. And,
yeah, guy's brilliant. I mean, yeah. There's no other way. That honestly, anytime I have an issue with the restaurant, I ask Jeff advice. I'm like,
yeah.
Dude,
he's...
I don't like my chicken breading. What should I do?
Yeah. No, he's world class.
This is what you're asking me about, chicken breading? I'm like...
Yeah. And I mention him on, like, every episode, and he usually listens, so shout out to you, buddy.
Oh, he listens?
Oh, yeah.
Oh
yeah,
Jeff.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Jeff usually listens, and we appreciate it.
Jeff, let me tell you about the time.
Oh, gosh.
That Jeff,
yeah,
the
first
time. Yeah,
do you have a good story? Do you have a good story to tell?
You want good stories? I got...
Well, I don't know.
I only worked for Jeff for, like, 3 months.
Whatever won't get him mad at me.
But we'll tell you about the first time
for
Jeff
giving
came
you a microphone.
Jeff came to JJ Stacks, right? I opened my place. And the night that we decided to do it, we went and celebrated at Taproot. We went, we had wine, me and my partner, my GM at the time. We ate, we drank, we just, you know, we had a blast. You know, it was time to celebrate. You know, we made this decision, we signed the lease. And what better place to go celebrate than Taproot, right?
Right.
So Steph comes out and she's like, oh, what are you guys doing? I'm like, oh, we bought a restaurant. And we came out to celebrate that we bought a restaurant. She's like, oh, what are you doing? This, this, and this. We're going to do burgers. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Jeff comes out. He's like, oh, Steph said you bought a restaurant. I said, yeah. He goes, what are you doing? I said, we're going to do burgers. He goes, but you got all the fast food down the block. I'm like... Like, thanks, Jeff. Fast forward, you know, we open. Jeff's around for a soccer tournament. I didn't happen to be there when Stacks first opened. I wasn't there full time. I was there quote unquote, as an investor. So, I wasn't there all the time. Now I'm there full time.
Right.
Jeff comes in, eats, gets a bunch of food to go. Texts me. He goes, I was at Stacks today. I said, oh, good. I said, what'd you think? He's like, do you want the review as a normal person or do you want the review as me? I'm like, let's go with both, but start as a normal person so you can get me happy and then aggravate me. He's like, all right. He goes, everything was awesome. I would absolutely come back and order anything I ordered again. I'm like, all right. I'm like, all right, go ahead. Now ruin my day. He goes, chicken sandwich, the cheese wasn't melted. That's weird. I'm like, okay. He's like, I don't really have a way to melt cheese. My kitchen's the size of like this table that we're sitting at in your living room. It's like 4x4. He was like, just make a cheese sauce. I'm like, I don't have anywhere to keep a cheese sauce. Then I still have to heat it up. I have a 4-burner stove and like no staff. He's like, just fucking make a cheese sauce. Now we make a cheese sauce.
Nice.
I was like, all right, what else? He goes, like, the fries could have used like 4 more grains of salt. I'm like, dude, go away. I'm like, I'm done with you now. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate the great review.
That's so
funny. But obviously, I was honored that he enjoyed everything. And he's been in, obviously, since and sends friends in. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
He should have a line of t-shirts, make a fucking cheese sauce.
Actually, maybe I'll go get one made. But like when a guy like that enjoys
JJ Stacks.
Right? Like, I don't know. You know who Sean Nye is?
Sounds familiar.
Sean Nye is the cocktail guy for the Spread Group.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Chris Hickey, one of the owners. You know, these guys come in and they, you know, we're all friendly and they come in and they have a good time. And it's like, I know I'm doing something right, right? Like the guys that are like successful, you know, I'm just getting started as an owner. You know, I've been in the business for 30 years, but or 20.
Right.
I don't know, too many fucking years. Too many years.
Right.
I feel like being in the restaurant business is like dog years. Like, yeah, I've been in it for 20 years, but it feels like it's 300 years. But these guys are like the guys that I want to achieve what they've achieved, right? Like, I want to achieve what Jeff's achieved, what the Spread. And these guys come in and they have a great time and they rave about everything. And it's like, all right, so I'm doing something right.
Yeah, and you were in CT Bites recently. They did a nice review on you, which was awesome.
CT Bites did a great review. Connecticut Magazine, Eric Offgang did a great piece about us last year.
Eric Offgang, good friend of the show.
Yeah, Eric's a good
His
dude,
birthday
man.
Was the other day, and happy birthday to him. Happy belated.
They actually just got, DoorDash or Grubhub. I get to see the names. So I saw
cool.
C. Offgang. I'm like, oh, that's Eric's. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah, Andrew came in and had some dinner and raved about everything and wrote us a great article. So it's nice. It makes me feel validation, you know?
The burgers are incredible.
Have you had a burger? I feel like every time you're there, I just see you eat wings.
No. I got wings and a burger. Most times when I go there.
Figure out a way to put wings on a burger for you.
Oh, man.
I gotta debone a wing for you and throw it on a burger.
Oh, but then it's just a chicken nugget, right?
No. Boneless wings are just chicken nuggies.
I know, it's a big debate.
If I take a wing and cut the meat off, I'm deboning.
Yeah.
It's a chef term.
Yeah.
I'm no chef, but I believe that's a chef term.
What are some of the burgers you have? Because that's definitely a big thing at JJ Stacks that people need to get into.
That's where we hang our hat. I mean, we're a burger place. At the end of the day, we're a burger place. We think everything is great. But burgers are definitely our bread and butter. We do a regular American burger, you know, just American cheese, 2 patties. We do 4-ounce patties. They're so you could do one or two.
That's what I get, the JJ stack or
that's the big stack. The big stack. Like our thing.
The big stack, that's what I get.
Fortunately, unlike coming to America, McDonald's has not come knocking on our doors like McDowell's. But it's basically our take on a Big Mac. It's 2 4-ounce patties, American cheese, lettuce, tomato, onion, special sauce, pickle, and bacon. I don't know if I said bacon, but if I did already, who cares? It's bacon.
It's bacon. I don't think you said bacon.
There's bacon on it. For those listening, there's bacon on it.
I took a great picture.
And there's
of
bacon
it.
In the sauce. There's bacon everywhere. Oh, we just throw bacon on everything. That's our solution to anything. Oh, you don't love this? Let's just add bacon to it. It'll be better.
And the wings, talk about some of the, because you have a bunch of different sauces. And
so many sauces. What, it's,
One sauce I haven't got that I would like to try is PB&J. I've never tried that on wings. Is that good?
So we actually took that off the menu because nobody really got it. I have one customer who got it. They still come in and get it. We still make it for them.
Okay.
Like, I still have peanut butter. I still have jelly. Like, I still make these things
for
they
you. Good?
I've never had
you
it.
You like, oh, okay, because you like peanut butter, right?
I do. We have a Thai peanut sauce that I like. Spicy peanut sauce, and that's my favorite. That's my favorite sauce on the menu by far. So many sauces, man. I don't even know how we keep up with it. I don't know where they came from. Like I said, you hashtag me as a sauce boss once, and I'm just taking that shit and running with it forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
But honestly, none of these are all mine. They're all just from years of just different people. Like, a lot of our recipes are things that started as somebody's, and we just had the right crew together that worked well together that turned it into something better. So like our chili started off the Thai peanut sauce was my friend Ken that I grew up with in Yonkers. Big Asian motherfucker, right? Like, you think of Asians as like the size of like your leg. This guy is Godzilla. Like, he's 6'8", 400 pound, just big fucking Asian dude. And he's like, oh, you're opening a restaurant? I'm like, yeah. He goes, what are you going to do? I'm like, this, and wings. He goes, oh, I got a wing sauce for you. I'm like, all right, what do you got? And he talks like I say Yonkers like Yonkers, because if my boys listen to me back home, I don't want to hear shit if I say Yonkers, because now I live in Connecticut and I say
Yonkers.
I say Yonkers now.
It's Yonkers.
So now, like, if I know my boys are going to be listening, I say Yonkers so I don't get my balls broken. Ken, like, goes out of his way to not pronounce the letters that people think we don't pronounce. Like, he's the reason we have the stereotype. So he's like, oh, you're opening a restaurant? You're going to do wings? I got a sauce for you. I'm like, all right, what do you got? What do you got? He was like, I got my Thai peanut, spicy peanut. I'm like, all right. So it started as his recipe. And then I had my boy Jose, and he was like, if we did this different, it'd be better. I'm like, all right, so make it better. And then like this other guy was like, oh, maybe if we took this out and added this. Like, but that's like my chili that we use now started the same way. The Thai peanut sauce, the blue cheese. You know, it was just a lot of different minds working together that made what we make. And I took a lot of that stuff. And even now, like, Jose works for Kaylin over at Note. She does a great job. He does a great job. She won Chopped. Like, you don't win Chopped if you know what you're doing. And, you know, I talk to Jose like once a week. I'm like, yo, I want to do this. Like, how did we do this? Like, what did we do? Like, I know how I used to do it before you. What was the thing that you did that made it different? And we still have that relationship. And he was like, oh, here, I'll text you what we did. I'll text you how we tweaked it. So, like, you know, it's just that growth. It's living. You know, food is a living thing, right? Like, it's never this and that's it. And that's the only way it could be done. Otherwise, everything would be boring and bland and nobody would fucking like anything. You know, we have these things like blue cheese. You think, how simple is blue cheese, right? You go to the store, you buy blue cheese. How could it ever be any better than what you buy? Well, maybe this guy puts this in it. Maybe this guy puts that in it. Maybe these two guys got together and threw it all in it. And that's how our blue cheese came about. And you know, it's such a stupid little thing, but it's something I'm so proud of, right? Like,
nice.
Not the blue cheese in general. That's not what I'm proud of. It's the guys that were together. Even should I do now? Like I said, I'll text Jeff and I'll be like, yo, I don't love the way this is happening. Like, what would you do different? And he'd be like, well, do this instead of that. I'm like, all right, I'll do this instead of that. He's like, but if you don't like it, don't do it. Because you don't have to try it. That's just my opinion. You know, Jeff, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you don't have to try it. That's just my opinion. I'm like, well, I'm going to try it. That's why I fucking asked you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't ask you to not do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's I don't even know what this question started as.
No, that's fine. That's fine. And you know, speaking of,
I get very excited.
I'm
very excited to be here.
No,
I was supposed to be guest 12 and I'm guest 65. That's how many times this thing has gotten pushed off.
So I'm glad you brought up Chef Kaylin, because there's a wing sauce that she does with the folks over at Notch 8, and that she's also a partner with. And it's a sesame garlic wing sauce. And that was pretty incredible when I had that.
I haven't had
pretty incredible.
Kaylin has never made me a bad meal.
Yeah.
I think she does an incredible job. And I don't know if you've ever been in the kitchenette note. I talk about how small my kitchen is. The kitchenette note is half the size of my kitchen. I have no idea how she puts out what she puts out in that place.
Yeah,
I haven't had that sesame garlic sauce. I may talk to her about it though, and
it's really good.
Something I always wanted to do if I had ever opened again, so when I reopened JJ's, was more collaborations with local chefs. Like, I'd love to have like Chef X create a sandwich and Chef Z create a wing sauce. And be like, I would sell it and be like, this is so-and-so's wing sauce. This is so-and-so's sandwich. Like,
there is a Chef X, and I'm sure he would love to work with you.
Who is Chef X?
Xavier Santiago.
That's not the guy down at the Mark, is it?
No, the place to be.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
That's a little bit out of my driving range.
He loves collabing with people.
In the middle of a 90-hour work week.
I'm sure if you reach out, he'd love to collab with you.
Yeah, I think that shit's so cool.
He does that stuff a lot. Chef Carlos Perez, I'm sure he would love to collaborate with you.
See, that's the shit I'm into.
They love doing that stuff.
You know, I don't like the people in the industry that trash. Like, I love the industry, right? Like, I love...
Sure.
Restaurants.
That's, so do I.
I love food. I love...
As an outsider.
I love cocktails. I love chefs. Like, I love everything about it.
Yeah, man.
Like,
bartenders are legit.
That trash each other and that, like... Like, that's not what it's about. Like, we're all in this shit together. Fuck COVID, right? This is a whole different nightmare. The industry sucks to begin with. You've got to be a special kind of sociopath to enjoy what we do. Like, normal people can't do this. Normal people can't work 90-hour weeks.
Yeah.
Never see, you know, not work weekends, not see their families on weekends, rather, not have holidays off. Like, normal people can't do that. It's a special type of career. Yo, people suck.
Yeah.
You got to deal with people. These guys in the back don't know. I've lived both lives. These guys in the kitchen don't understand what we deal with out in the front. You know, I love a lot of my customers, but I hate a lot of my customers too. Not current, but you know, throughout my life, there've been a lot of customers that have been like, ugh,
yeah,
just eat your food and leave. I don't care about your tip. I don't care what you think. Just eat your food and get out.
Yeah.
It's a special kind of person that wants to do what we do.
Right.
So like, why they kill each other? There's these people out there that feel like the only way they could be successful is if they're the only good spot
in town.
Like, you know what? You're not. No town that you're in, are you the only good spot? There's lots of spots that do great jobs. And listen, there's shitty restaurants out there. It sucks to say, but they exist. There's owners that don't know what they're doing. There's people that are just too cheap. There's, you know, and now, you know, when I started 25 years ago, being in the restaurant was a career. Now it's sort of not. Now it's like a stopgap. If you're a waiter, you're like, it's your second job, or you're in between careers, you're in school. You know, if you're a bartender, you're like just looking for the next best thing. It's not a career anymore. When I started, it was a career. I was a career. I was a lifer. It's what I did. What did you do? I work in the restaurant industry. I wait table. I bartend. I manage. I do this. I do that. I run a kitchen. I run this kitchen. I run that bar. I run this catering operation. Like, now it's, oh, I bartend while I'm in school, or, oh, I do this, but I also do that. You know, it's not a thing anymore. And that sort of, you know, watered down the love of the industry. But there's still those people, right? There's still us. There's still us that grew up doing this and love what we do. And like, that special kind of person that wants to succeed, wants the industry to succeed.
Did you always want to join the industry? Because I know before you had a radio show and what was it, college? Or
I had it. So when I was in college, I wanted to do sports talk. My dream, if I could have, and I would do this now, if I could
Mike
be like
Mad
some
Dog.
Sort of like Mike and the Mad Dog meet Opie and Anthony.
Mm.
That's what I wanted my life to be when I was like 19, right? When I was 19, I was already like 6 years into the restaurant industry. I'd already been in it for a long fucking time.
Got you.
But that was my dream. I wanted to do this. I wanted to talk fast and forget what I was talking about. And, you know, but I wanted to, you know, sports themed, because I'm a huge sports nut. And, you know, that's what it was. But that didn't happen. You know, I had my radio show in college. You know, me and my partner did a very edgy, racy offensive radio show. You know, we're funny as fuck. I never forget this. One day, the producer and my co-host got into a fist fight in the middle of the production room. Very different than what we're sitting in now. There was, you know, I was in a glass room. There was a room in the middle, and my co-host sometimes was in a different room. Sometimes it was me, depending on, I don't remember why. One room was small, so we didn't always want to be next to each other. And in the middle room, they got into a fight. Instead of like stopping the show and breaking up the fight, I decided it would be a good idea to call it as if it was a boxing match. That's the kind of shit we did.
Yeah.
And
that's great. And you were on Fox News?
Yeah, Fox News did a piece about us, which was pretty fun. the guy that ran the radio station wasn't thrilled because of the topics we chose that day. I will not rehash that. That's deep in my past.
But, gotcha.
Let's just say we were extra bad when we were asked to be extra good. Dude, that day, I woke up. I'll never forget this. Our show was on Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, right? Thursday night at SUNY Albany was a big drinking night. Every night at SUNY Albany was a big drinking night. Thursday night was like the guys' rugby night. And I played rugby and we were like at our bar until like 2 a.m. And I didn't have Friday class. I literally woke up Friday to do the radio show. I got a call at like 10 a.m. from my partner. It goes, Joe, Fox News is going to cover us. I'm like, just fuck off, whatever. Fox News is going to cover us. Hang up. 30 minutes later, the guy, my buddy Doug, who is now like a big shot at Sirius Radio, calls me. He's the guy who ran the radio station, calls me. He goes, Fox News is setting up. You need to get here and actually prep a show. We never prepped. We literally just showed up and did our show.
Right.
There was no prep.
Right.
There was no discussion as to what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
One of us would start talking. And then we would just fucking go.
Nice.
Similar to this, actually. Yeah. You might have prepped. I didn't. I wasn't given any notes.
No.
But this is less cursing than this. We weren't allowed to curse because it was a college radio station.
Early on, I prepped when the podcast first started, but
not anymore.
This season, I've gotten used to it. So
it's you've gotten better.
Thank you.
You're fun to listen to.
Thanks.
So he calls me. And he's like, yeah, Fox News is like literally setting up cameras. You've got to get in here and prep a show. I'm like, yeah, whatever, Fox News. I just thought they were fucking with me. I get up, you know, 12:15 for my 1 o'clock show. I don't live on campus, so I got to get across the city of Albany, stop at Dunkin' Donuts, get my coffee, walk in at 12:45, and fucking Fox News is set up waiting. I'm like, who's that guy? He goes, we both called you 3 times and told you that they were here. I'm like, I thought you guys were fucking with me. I'm like, no, dick. And we had one of the best shows we've ever had. Honestly, it was absolutely hilarious.
That's awesome.
But it was not appropriate content for a college radio show.
Gotcha.
And Doug, who ran the station, who is now the guy I just referenced at Sirius, he's bald. And I think this day was the reason why he went bald. He was pulling his hair out over the shit we were talking about.
Oh, man.
But it was fun.
Interesting.
It was, you know, life experiences, cool life experiences that make us who we are.
Yeah, very cool. And I know that along your journey of owning Tiger's Den and of owning JJ Stacks now, there were certain places and certain people that you worked with and encountered along the way. And I know that you did or still do work for a food service company.
So I'm just
curious if you could just mention some of the places that you've worked with, some of the folks that you've worked alongside and things like that. Because I know you did work at Taproot and everything. So
when Tiger's Den closed, I was lost. I was honestly lost. I was in the middle of a divorce. I was just realizing that I suffered from anxiety and depression badly. And I don't know if I ever knew it and was in denial my whole life and just covering it up or what, if I just never really knew. But it sort of all hit me, right? And I was like, all right, well, I have to do something. And there's only really one thing I know how to do. So I guess I have to go find a job. I interviewed at a restaurant in Bethel. And the owner of the restaurant, legitimately, after hearing my experience, told me that they weren't hiring because their part-time college kids were about to come home. And they didn't have room. But I could come back when college went back in session. And I was like, I've got 28, at that point, like 25 years of experience, 24 years of experience. you're not going to give me shifts because an 18-year-old human being is here. Like, that person's not going to be here in 5 years.
Right.
So I was like really down. I'm like, I actually had a hard time finding a job.
Damn.
Which was never a thing for me. Like, I came up, like, not to toot my own horn, but I was a rock star everywhere I went. Every restaurant I worked at, I was a rock star. I'm friendly, you know? And that's honestly, at the end of the day, in this industry, if you're friendly, you're pretty fucking good at your job because your customers like you and they want to come back and they ask for you and they give you good tips.
Exactly.
I called a buddy of mine who was managing Craft 14 down in Wilton. And I took a job there bartending. Great restaurant, awesome food, awesome concept, great cocktails. I didn't love the vibe. Nothing wrong. Like, nothing was wrong with how it was run. I just wasn't what I was used to. An ex-girlfriend of mine's, at that point and still now, husband had worked at Taproot. She had mentioned it a couple of times. Called her. I was like, who do I ask for? I said, I think I'm going to go interview for a job there. Who do I ask for? She said, no, ask for Steph. I said, okay. I call up. I said, you guys hiring? She goes, we actually are. I said, I live in Bethel. I've got, you know, 20-something years experience. I owned a restaurant that just closed. I'd love to come in and interview. I sat down with Steph and, you know, we just hit it off right away. It seemed like just two friends bullshitting. And I walked out of there and she was like, when can you go back and train? I'm like, when do you want me to? And whatever it was, that night or the next day, you know, I showed up, trained, and so thankful that I got that job because I got to work with Steph and Jeff and I got to meet two great people in the industry. I still learn, you know, like people do something for decades and think they know everything. I was one of those people when I owned Tigers then. I wouldn't listen to anybody. I wouldn't take advice. And I learned that the shit I know is nowhere compared to the shit there is. And I got to work with Jeff and I learned about a whole new concept of food. Like, I never worked. I worked in some fine dining Italian places, you know, but that's just like fucking expensive veal is basically what that comes down to, right? Like, I've never worked with somebody that like played with food the way Jeff does and played with cocktails the way Steph does. Like, Jeff is great, and obviously the food is the main attraction. What Steph does with cocktails is fucking brilliant, and she never gets the accolades. Like, there's some great cocktail guys in this area, right? Sean Nye, I mentioned earlier, is fucking brilliant. The guy that runs the cocktail program at Bottega is really fucking good.
Yeah.
The guy that runs the cocktail program at the Lucas Local Centrico family is great.
Yep. Mariposa.
But, yeah.
Down the street, one of the best in the state.
Steph is so under the radar, so much better than...
In the good old days, guys. Shane Bigham.
He's from Norwalk too, right? Shane's from Norwalk, yeah.
Shane Bigham over there. And Ken Ward. Shout out to those guys.
We're so lucky, man. We're
yeah.
We're in a good time for food in this area.
Yeah.
But my point was like learning cocktails from Steph. I'm like, man, I never would have thought to, like, I bartended for 20 years. I never got to like learn how to be creative, right? Like, you work for somebody and you just do what they do. You know, this is your food. This is your food you cook. This is your cocktails you make drinks. I never created specials. I created drink specials, but never to the level, you know, like I like just working with Jeff and Steph and working at Craft 14. You know, those guys did some creative shit with food. You know, Steph and Jeff did creative things with food and cocktails. And then I got into PFG, which is, you referenced my sales job. I'm no longer with. I'm at Stax full time, but at PFG, and I got to become close with Carlos down at the Spread, and Carlos is another. You want to talk about underrated? You want to talk about one of the most underrated, you know, young talents in food in this area?
Yeah,
Los is one of those.
I've had
dudes,
folks,
man,
tell me to get him on the show.
Los is one of those dudes. So yeah, so I'm working with PFG, and I get to meet guys like Los and Chris Hickey and you know, Dre and other Chris Raziel and, you know, Sean Longyear, Sean Nye. And like, I sit there and I talk to them about food and like, you know, I learned so much shit doing that job because I just, you know, Tequila Escape. I talked to these guys and these guys treated me like I was the guru. I'm like, I'm learning from you. Like, yeah, I've got my opinions and I've got my ideas, but like, I'm learning from you about how to do stuff. You know, I learned in my first restaurant how much I had to learn. And I did that with my sales job, and I hope I'm doing that now. Like, I hope I'm still learning. Like, I hope, you know, you want to think that you are, but sometimes you shut down. And I hope that I'm still taking that in. And I take, like I said, I text Jeff, I text Stevie at Tequila Escape. I talk to people. I'm like, what could I be doing better?
Yeah, Tequila Escape in Ridgefield, great place. Had a great time this weekend.
Great place.
I will be back, and I highly recommend it for folks listening who they're in the Ridgefield area. If you're ever in that area over there, Ridgefield, definitely check out Tequila Escape and everyone over there. And Steve, the wonderful owner, great guy.
Oh, Stevie and Angel.
Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. They're good people. They do a great job, man. Those guys know what they're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, so when this episode airs, it'll be almost mid-November. And I know you were talking about maybe closing JJ Stacks for the winter. What are your exact plans? And what can you tell people listening who maybe want to check you out before then?
Dude, I wish I had exact plans. Unfortunately, not the best business
model. Just stay to the social. Just check out the social media to see what the deal might be.
I'm just living day by day, man. Okay. It's... November could be great or November could suck, you know?
Because you got to get out to JJ Stacks. Once you hear this episode, you got to get out there as soon as possible, just in case they close for the winter. You never know. And then come freaking spring and summer, you get over there, you play some mini golf.
I can guarantee you one thing. No matter what happens at the end of November, we will be open in the end of March, the latest. We will be back in full action and ready to go. So
awesome. Awesome.
And I wish I had an exact plan. It's.
And for those that are going to go there and going to be there, let me know in advance so I can show up and I'm going to take you to school in the mini golf course and show you what's good.
You know, you talk a lot of trash. You, Lou Milano, talks a lot of trash about the mini golf. I think we got to do some sort of like charity mini golf man. Game.
Me, you, Lou, the Wing Addicts, a few chefs.
I think
Jeff
get
Tavey. It'd be great.
I don't know if Jeff could break away to play some mini golf, but I don't know if you know. I don't know how into wrestling you are.
Yeah,
but the local goat of wrestling, Brian Anthony, has been talking shit about the mini golf course.
Okay,
Lou's been throwing the challenge out like crazy.
I love it.
I could take anybody. Every time you ask Lou to play, he's too busy. So I don't know. You know, I don't know.
You gotta love Lou Milano, man. That guy really knows how to get it
really
done.
Really knows how to talk shit, is what he knows.
Yeah, no, he knows how to get it riled up. And
that guy is one glorious entertaining motherfucker, man. But he's gotta put his money where his mouth is.
He's
man.
Entertaining, man. I love it. I love it.
You know, it's that great. Guy talks so much shit. That guy wrote an article about how hard the seventh hole was. I had a kid hit a hole in one on the seventh hole today, and my first thought, it's not the first time
he wrote an article.
Every time a child comes up to me and tells me they hit a hole in one on the seventh hole, I immediately think of Lou Milano.
Of Lou.
I'm like, I can't wait to text Lou and tell him yet again an 8-year-old has done what he can't figure out.
That's great. So what's the future for JJ Stacks? Just keep on this road, you know, keep doing what you're doing.
I'm just going to keep busting my ass and keep
really awesome comfort food.
Yeah. I listen, you know, I talked to my manager the other day. I was like, man. Almost everybody that gets a burger talks about how it's like the best burger they've had. I've got these guys, the Wing Addicts. Do you know the Wing Addicts?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know them? No, the people out there in podcasting. Like you. Yeah, you.
Yeah.
You know, Tommy, Donnie.
Yeah.
These guys put me in their top in Connecticut. Like, they do their thing, right? They do their, what they do, by the way. The Wing Addicts, Nikki Zooks, these guys, you, honestly, are one of these guys too, that brings such a positive light to the industry are I can't speak on behalf of everybody in the industry, but I personally appreciate what you guys do. So the Wing Addicts do their thing. They have their blog, their YouTube show, and you don't get a lot of bad reviews, which is good because everybody's working hard. But you get there, they do their, like, their spotlight, right? Like, they do their, like, these are the places you have to go to. And, like, these guys put me on this list. They have, like, hundreds of thousands of, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I don't know. They have a shitload of followers. There's a lot of people on that page. You know, there's a lot of people on the YouTube channel. They put me on their list.
Great guys. I'll never forget the first time I met Tommy. I believe it was last year during all the hecticness.
Did you get Tommy on the show yet?
Not yet, but ooh, you know, a little teaser, I guess. And you know, for those listening,
spoiler coming.
Tommy Wyatt, Donnie the Cleaner, and Wing Chef Ryan will be coming on an episode of Sweeten Up Podcast for season 2. We've been talking about it.
I will make a bet.
Pretty
right
sure
now
it's going to happen.
That you don't get all three of those guys. In the
whoa.
Summer.
Solaire just hit a home run over the railroad tracks. That was an absolute bomb. Wow. And it was a 3-run home run.
I will be impressed if you can get Donnie, Tommy, and Wing Chef Ryan.
We're going to get all of them, and we're going to do it at a mutual location. I've been talking about doing it at Bomb Wings and Rice in Hamden. Not sure
yet. I
think
the place to go, honestly, I'd love to say that I'm the place to go, but I think the place to go has got to be Dewdrop.
All right.
My opinion.
I was going to try to hit a place they never been, but I'm willing to do wherever they want. I mean, I think it would be great to do it over
at
JJ's.
They're generally pretty open to anything. So that
I would love it. We can get Jason on. You could come by. We'll have all of us. It'll be great.
Oh, I won't come by if Jason's there. That guy's from Mount Vernon, bro. But I'm from Yonkers. Fuck that.
But no, they're great guys. They're awesome guys.
They're the tits for sure. Man.
And
those guys.
And for those that are big Nikki Zooks fans, his folks actually reached out to me a couple weeks ago, and Nikki Zooks will be coming on the Sweeten Up Podcast for season 2.
Dude,
so
how amazing is
be
what
on
this
the lookout.
Kid. Can we talk about this kid for a second?
Yeah, yeah. He's really taken the.
I don't even know how old he is anymore. It feels like he's been doing it for like 10 years now.
I think he's like 10 or 11. It's
I think
impressive.
He's like 10 or, he started at 9, right?
It's impressive.
And this kid shines so much light on so many great local
every
businesses.
Every week, yeah. And it was.
You know, I was the first non Bethel restaurant.
Oh, yeah?
JJ Stacks was the first non...
Hey,
now the kid
that?
Goes to, like, Hartford.
Yeah, now he's out there.
I'm like, what
he's
do you do?
There.
You ride your bike? Like, how do you get up to Hartford? Like, how do you...
Yeah.
The kid's up in, like, New Haven.
Yep.
Kid's blowing up, man. But it's you know, for good reasons, because the kid really is doing great things for us.
Yeah, and listen, when they reached out, I was excited, and I'm looking forward to, you know, getting to hear about why he decided to do what he's doing, and how he's enjoying it, and just the process and everything like that. And so
I think you
fun.
Could ask Dino about this too, but I think he does his own editing. Like, I think Nikki.
That's awesome. Well, there you go. It's going to be a great story. I can't wait to
kid's
chat
gonna be a star,
with him.
Man.
I can't wait to chat with him. So, and listen, on that note, man, we've gone an hour, and it's just been really, really great to chat with
an
you.
An hour already?
Yeah, and I'm so glad that, well, pretty close. We're almost there. And, you know, it's been great getting to know you. It's been so cool. You know, having you as a new friend, and just seeing all the great things that you're doing at JJ Stacks, because it's a great place. Everyone's got to definitely go out there and check it out. You know, it's one of those places where you can just count on really solid food. You know, homemade food that a lot of love and care goes into it, and you can't really ask for much more than that. And when you come in and get to see you, and you're just, you know, very positive, outgoing, wonderful individual, and that really helps as well. And that keeps, you know, myself and I'm sure a lot of people coming back. You know, it's just the combination of that and the food and the vibe and the mini golf, and it's a great area. It's right next to where I work, and it's a great spot at Brookfield. It's a spot maybe not a lot of people think to drive all the way down to the end of Federal, but you got to check out JJ Stacks. And listen, man, before you go, one question I like to ask my guests, and I have all season 1, and I've been staying with it in season 2, is, you know, pizza is big here in the state of Connecticut. And whenever you go to New Haven, whenever that may be, you know, we don't always get to go out to New Haven whenever we want. But if you do, what do you think is your favorite pizza in New Haven? And just what is your favorite go-to pizza in and around where you live? And what are some restaurants you like to go to when you get some free time to do something like that?
So I'm going to break your podcast here. I've never had pizza in New Haven.
Never?
Never. I didn't grow up here. I'm a New Yorker.
Well, yeah, okay, but all right.
Right.
Fair enough. What's the best pizza in New York?
My favorite pizza in New York. That's I got different things.
That's
right?
Even more hot button.
There's Carlos Pizza on Tuckahoe Road in Yonkers. It's the pizza I grew up on. Amazing. There's Catania's, also in Yonkers and Central Avenue.
Catania's.
It's different, though. It's not, there's different owners. It's not what it used to be.
Okay, okay.
They used to have the best calzones you'd ever have.
I was about to say, yeah. Okay.
And there's
a place
called Sal's in Mamaroneck.
Oh, I just like the name.
Best Sicilian. Dude, me and Sal used to get bombed together.
If there's a place called Sal's, you can bet your ass it's probably going
to
be great.
Dude, we used to get, this place used to have a line. Like, there would be a line out the door. Me and Sal would get drunk together in White Plains, and I'd go get pizza, and he would, like, come get me from the line. He's like, you're not waiting on line. I'm like, dude, there's, like, 50 people here that'll slit my throat for a piece of pizza right now. I'm going to wait on line. He's like, no. You just come. Sal's best Sicilian you'll ever have. He's unfortunately passed, but his family's keeping on the tradition. His cousin owns Andiamo in Brookfield, and they do a great job.
I wanted to check that place out.
I get pizza from Sal's in Bethel. Speaking of Sal's, they do a really nice job. I really like Capri. My kids dig Famous. Perry's an awesome dude.
Perry's the best, man.
Yeah. That guy just, is there a better community restaurant owner?
No, he does a lot for
Fairfield.
He does a lot for the community.
And he's got good food.
Yeah.
He's got good food.
Yeah.
That's my kid's favorite.
Didn't he just expand too a little bit?
He's not expanding. Or... He's actually downgrading.
He's
moving out of the corner and into the where the ice cream shop used to be.
Oh, okay. Cream and Sugar, right? Gotcha.
Victoria's does a great job in Bethel. I've never been to New Haven, man.
I haven't been to Victoria's. That's a sin, right? I should probably get over there, right?
It's really good.
Damn, okay.
You know, Connecticut's got this thing with pizza. Like, I grew up in New York, right? You go to a pizza shop and you get a slice of pizza, and the slice of pizza is like the size of your body, right? It's like you got to fold it four times to eat it.
Yeah.
And it costs like $3, and that's it. Connecticut, you guys have this like everything's a pie, right? There's no slice. Like it's tough to find a place where you go to grab a slice. Like everything's like these little individual pies, and it's a different style. And I'm getting used to it. Honestly, I'm getting, oh, fucking pizza. Good old days.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
This guy brought a style nobody even heard of in Connecticut, and is fucking killing it.
The Frico, Detroit style.
The guys in Michigan wouldn't even know what to do with this pizza. That's how good it is.
Yeah,
Stanzi's a pizza genius, man. Yeah, he's a pizza genius.
He's a god.
Guy's a pizza genius.
Good old days, gods.
But you can't get it. But you can't get a slice. Can't get a slice. I want a slice that's like this big. Nobody can see this. I know I'm on radio and I'm doing a visual, but I want a slice that's this big. That I got to fold in half, and one slice is gonna fill me. And like I'm gonna it's so crispy and good that I don't care how atomic the cheese is.
Yeah,
how much it's gonna burn? Like I'm gonna be licking burnt skin off my mouth for a week.
But good old days pizza reheats so well.
It's just good, man.
It reheats so well. Even Matt says it. He goes, it reheats like a baller.
Well, if Matt doesn't say his pizza's good, there's something wrong. I'm not over here talking about.
Hey, he's an honest dude.
My burgers aren't great.
He's an honest dude. It took him a long time to R&D what you know everything he was doing, but he's got it down to a freaking science.
He does a great job.
He's got it to a science.
So
yeah, man.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting. It's taken me 8 years. I'm just starting to warm up on the pizza in Connecticut.
Okay.
I spent 7.5 years saying it sucks without even trying, right?
Okay.
I'm from New York. Our pizza's better.
Well, listen.
You guys have good pizza.
You've never been to New Haven, so
if you want to take me on a date, bro, I mean, you're not exactly my type.
We'll go. We'll go. I have to go to New Haven soon anyway to see a good friend of the show.
If we go to New Haven, though, and get pizza, we've got to go to El Segundo.
Yes,
I gotta show my boys some love.
Yep,
they got I know we're going long. I'm sorry, but they've got
no.
So Chef Los is like the dog, the top dog of the Segundos and the spread, but they've got a chef at Segundo New Haven. Her name is Genesis. She's like 23 years old, and just recently took over running the kitchen. And this kid, you want to talk about bright stars? This kid is fucking killing food up in the New Haven area. She is brilliant. She is, I don't know where she learned from other than Los. It's definitely not just his influence because you could see that there's other things. She's got Los teaching her and she's got her own stuff. This kid, we go to New Haven, we'll get pizza, but we've got to go eat something at Segundo also.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got to hit Tavern on State.
I don't know what that is.
See my friend of the pod, Emily McGrone.
Oh, yes, she's up
for a crazy award, Best Chef of the in Connecticut.
Yeah, I think a couple of people we've talked about are up for that award tonight, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, it's great. So I love them. It's great having them on, and it's great having you on, man. It's good to see you, and I'm so glad we could get this done, and thank you for joining me here. And
dude, I've been looking forward to this for so long. I know we joked about how long it was, but it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So many reschedules with your birthday, with my kids.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to be here, man. Thank you so much for having me. I didn't even watch any of the game. I had so much fun talking to you. I thought that I'd sit here and talk to you and watch some baseball. I had so much fun talking to you, I didn't even watch a baseball game.
Well, there you go. There you go, man. That's the charm, right?
You're a charming motherfucker. I will say that.
Well, listen, anyways, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate it. I wish you and JJ Stacks and everyone over there nothing but the best. And you know I'll be by. And yeah, man, I appreciate it a lot. And I hope you have a great evening.
Thanks, man. Me too.
Huge thanks once again to my guest on the podcast today, Joe Attenito of JJ Stacks. Thank you so much, Joe, for coming by my place and hanging out. It was so great to hear about your passion for the industry, everything you've done up into JJ Stacks, where the future of JJ Stacks is headed, and so much more. Everyone definitely has to come down, check him out, say hi to Joe, and show him some love. He's got great food, great vibes. It was just an honor to chat with you. And listen, man, like I always say, I wish you nothing but the best, onward and upward. Just like that, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcast. We would greatly appreciate your feedback. As a reminder, you can play the podcast with the help of your smart speaker by simply saying, "Play the podcast Sweeten Up with Jeff Spencer." Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music Morgan Luzzi, production and art director Kurt Vinci, editor and writer Nick Passacretta, and a special thanks as always to Devin Cipelli. My guest on the podcast next week is my buddy and celebrity chef, Adam Greenberg. Chef Adam Greenberg is a Connecticut native, a four-time CHOP champion, a Beat Bobby Flay winner, previous owner of the Coconut Club in Washington, D.C., and spent a decade with the hospitality group behind Barcelona. With all of his Food Network wins, he has been crowned as the all-time winningest contestant the Food Network has ever had, and also is occasionally featured as a Food Network judge. We had an incredible in-depth conversation live in the Sweeten Up studio in Danbury, Connecticut, and trust me when I tell you that you will not want to miss out on this one. But until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy, love you all, peace.